We come to Good Friday as a solemn occasion where we intentionally remember, quite frankly, the consequences of each of our choices. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says that he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. What does that mean? What does it mean for him to take upon himself the consequences of my choices? It doesn't mean that it not only means that we've fallen short of the character and the nature of God, but that we have been given the consequence of death. We've earned it. And death being separation from the one who gives life. And to really understand that, actually, we have reason to go all the way back to the very beginning. In Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God." And then the very next verse says that the earth was formless and void. See, God was there. But the earth was in chaos. It wasn't just lacking something. The word there, lacking form or void, actually means chaos, a wasteland, something that has no order and structure to it, that has no life to it. And it's into that place of chaos and absence God speaks. Through his breath and through his word, order comes, creation comes, design comes, purpose comes. Life comes. And it is amongst that life that God dwells with joy with his people. God speaks. But as you may know the story, very quickly in Genesis 3, we see this devastating turn of death coming to all. And again, death being separation from the one who gives life. When you think of what happened that day, there was a physical death that was pronounced, a spiritual death that had come immediately, and a broken relationship with the Lord. And in the chapters following that, from Genesis 3 all the way down to verse chapter 11, we see this spiraling down of all creation. We see death enter into all of the world. We see disease and decay and murder and betrayal. Wickedness covered the earth. The world was full of darkness again, was full of chaos again, was full of the lack of order and form and purpose. And judgment came. But again, into this wasteland, God spoke. Through the calling of Abraham and claiming a nation for himself, God called the people to be the light to the world, to bring reconciliation. God again spoke into the chaos. He brought them out of Egypt, out of slavery, into a place where he provided a sacrifice that was sufficient for them for the time. He provided presence with them in the tabernacle. He provided a promised land, a land to dwell from which they were to be a light into the world. But if you know the story, as they carried that out, they plunged themselves again into chaos through their own choices, through their own sinfulness. They plunged themselves into idolatry, to intermarriage, to perversion, to horrendous sacrifices, which included children, ignoring the call to come back and repent and have a relationship with the one who gives life. So as a result, judgment came through two nations of Assyria and Babylon. And the Shekinah glory of God, the very presence of God among his people, Shekinah glory meaning the indwelling or the settling presence of God as a result of these invading nations and the chaos that Israel had plunged themselves to, departed. Ezekiel chapter 10 is a vision of this where it says, the glory of the Lord rose from above the cherubim and moved to the threshold of the temple. The cloud filled the temple, and the court was full of the radiance of the glory of the Lord. Then the glory of the Lord departed. And God's people were plunged into a whole season of chaos, a lack of order, a lack of purpose, a lack of form in slavery. But again, into this wasteland, God spoke. He said this was not going to be the end, that he was going to restore them. He was going to return them to the promised land. And we see that narrative play out in the Old Testament. But he brought him back with great anticipation that there was one coming who is going to be greater. And the one coming is going to be a greater sacrifice. He's going to be a greater priest, a greater prophet, a greater king, a greater mediator, a greater friend, a greater savior. Jesus. God speaks. When Jesus arrived, the word became flesh, and God spoke into the chaos of a world still bound by sin. He came to all the world enslaved in sin. He came to us who are enslaved in sin. Paul picks up on this, and he says in Romans chapter 3, Jews and Gentiles alike, which means basically all of us, are all under sin. There is no one righteous, not even one. No one who understands. No one who seeks God. All have turned away. No one does good. Not one. Chaos. But God spoke through the coming of Jesus. Into this chaos, God speaks. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Good Friday is a day to remember that. It's a solemn occasion to remember that God demonstrates his love for us and has made a way for reconciliation. So we remember. But there's another reason why we're here. We're here to proclaim hope in a day where chaos is still a reality. It's the mystery of this already not yet kingdom that Jesus brought. Kingdom has come, but it's not fully revealed. And so we still live in a time of chaos and pain, and it's a day where we proclaim what is yet to come. We proclaim in a world that is in chaos, that is in void, absence of form. We proclaim it to a world where people are longing for meaning and definition and identity and finding it in their own self-determined ways. They're settling for cheap substitutes. Work, success, money, being liked by other people. We speak into a world where people are seeking value in all sorts of ways. And when we look at ourselves, we realize that we're just not there. Or we determine that we have no value. Either I'm too tall, or I'm too short, or I'm too heavy, or I'm too thin, or I'm too fast, or I'm too slow, or I'm too smart, or I'm too dumb. And as a result of not measuring up in some way, we give in to demonic voices that tell us to overeat or to starve, to feel something by cutting my arm, to run into a crowd to be the center of attention in order to be liked, or out of great fear to run away so that no one would ever see me. To fall into this desire to be known or maybe unknown through addictions. To escape by numbing myself but realizing it doesn't work. We speak hope and proclamation into a world that says, it's about you. It's about self-gratification, and a world that pursues that, exploits the most vulnerable, and abuses those who can't stand up for themselves. We proclaim into a world that has caused us to trade life of the unborn for choice. We have traded design for healthy human relationship for counterfeits that just don't work and don't deliver. We speak hope into marriages. Really the most powerful relationship when it comes to symbolizing what God really is to us through Christ. We've changed the definition of it. We've emptied it of so much meaning. Marriages that are full of conflict and anger and hurt and bitterness. Abuse, separation, divorce. We have children growing up trying to relate to emotionally distant fathers or neglectful ones, and therefore project this concept of who God is as a result of that, that God is indifferent, that he's distant, that he's angry, or that he's vengeful. We proclaim into a world that says all of our resources are about me, that we can spend to excess while really the rest of the world starves, and thereby enabling war and conflict and exploitation around the world, while even the church engaging in that is ignoring the call to reach the unreached with the gospel. We speak this hope into a culture that really promotes turn to yourself for power, when really, when we think about it, it's exactly ourselves that has got us to this point. We proclaim today that Jesus is the way. We proclaim into this void, into this chaos, into this absence of form and purpose, into this wasteland, that Jesus, he himself, has borne in his body the sins of the world. He entered it, he took it, and he buried it. You know, Palm Sunday is a Sunday last week that we celebrate. Jesus walking the road to the cross, entering into Jerusalem. And there's only one of the Gospels that provides an interesting account for us, and it's the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. As Jesus walks through the crowd, those, you know, praising him, Hosanna, glory to the God in highest, Jesus approaches the city of Jerusalem. And it's interesting how Luke says it. He says it, he sees it, and he weeps. And he goes on to say, as Luke says, that, you know, Jerusalem, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. They missed it. They missed the one that had come to speak into the chaos of really not just that time, but all of creation, groaning in sin. I wonder if Jesus is asking the same question today. As we come to a Good Friday service to remember, probably for the 10th time, 15th time, 30th time, for some of you, 40th time, would Jesus ask us today, if you only knew on this day what would bring you peace? Is he asking you that today? Do you know? Do you know what would bring you peace into your life and into the chaos of this already not yet kingdom? Peace is reconciliation with the Lord. It's not the absence of strife, but it's the presence of God. It's God showing up and making himself known to his creation in the midst of the struggle, all the while giving our eyes focus on what is yet to come in the future. And it is upon that future we can build our lives. And that is what it means to live a life of hope and faith. Do you recognize the time of God's coming, even today? I think Good Friday is about remembering the chaos, the absence of form, the absence of purpose, and remembering how God spoke into it. I wanted to provide us some time to do that, provide some space to reflect on and bring to the cross, as we've tried to show here, the formlessness and the void and the chaos in my life, and bring it to the cross and acknowledge that and confess it and bring it out into the open for him to see, which really means it's become aware to myself, and bring it to him. And then we're going to provide a way through which I think God will speak. And so I'm just going to lead us into a time of silence. Very uncomfortable for a task-driven culture. But could we take a moment to provide space for the Lord to reveal to us the areas of brokenness in our own lives? And as he does, I encourage you to confess those, to bring them to light, as it were, and to offer them to him, bring them to the cross. And in about a minute, there'll be a means by which we can reflect on and pray, actually, God speak.
Yeah.